on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
It's John Dean Cox again. This time he's in. At the second time of asking, Dean Cox takes Leighton Orient a step closer to Wembley.
Carroll.
Jonathan to Hue.
Capable of anything. To Hue. Equaliser for Leighton Orient.
We're not a city. We're not a town. We're the only one of us around, and you know where we can be found. When Saturday comes again, we'll be trying to do our best to cheer our woes on whoever blessed. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we'll lay an Orient from Eton.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to this week's Orient Hour on Phoenix 98 FM. I'm Trevor Singfield as your host tonight, and in the studio over tonight, it's quite full. We have Karen over the far side. How are you?
Thank you, Trevor.
Good. Amelia's next to Karen.
Yeah, I'm doing good too, thank you.
Lovely. And then we've got Grant.
Good evening, everyone.
And to my left, we have Richard, who is on the buttons as well.
Hello, Trevor.
There we go. So we've got a reasonable show tonight. No guests, but we've had two games to indulge in over the last 4 days. So we're going to get started on Saturdays, first of all. So Barnsley were in town. They sold out their little corner. Good support, pretty loud. And the game ended 1-1. We all know about by now. And we scored a penalty from Piggott. Whether it was or not, we'll discuss that in a minute. Well, the O's lined up with Brin, Cooper, Happ, Hunt, Graham, Galbraith, Brownhill, Mazzuni, Archibald, Piggott, Sartorio. And Piggott was subbed for Drinnen, Galbraith was taken off for Ford, and Sartorio for Moncur. So, personally, overall, after the game, I didn't hear a negative comment about the whole match, which is very unusual when you go into the supporters' club or leave the stadium. So, what did we all think? Karen, you can go first.
I thought it was a nice, good, solid all-round performance on Saturday. I walked away thinking, like you say, everybody was sort of feeling positive. I was one of them. I thought, yeah, we could, you know, at the end of the day, we could have probably had that. 2-3-1, you know. So yeah, it was good to see. And the defence seems to be getting on a lot better with the goalkeeper now, and it just seems to be a lot more communication, I think, between the two.
Well, Amelia had a special day because she was the Phoenix FM, what we say, roving reporter. She was in charge of sending a half time report and a full time report during the afternoon show. So she's here now to tell us all about her day. Come on.
Yeah, I had a really good time. And, you know, I think especially in the first half, Orient played really well. I think, you know, they could have scored a few more, but I think, you know, they held on well and the whole team seemed to play well together, really.
So what's the facilities like up the top there? So you can give us, you know, it's a bit of a bird's eye view up there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very high up. I think I underestimated it because I took the stairs on the way up as well. So it wasn't a good idea. But no, it's a great view of the pitch, you know, high up, but can still see everything really well. So
what time did you have to get to the ground?
I got there just after 2, just to make sure I had everything all set up and ready to go. But yeah.
So did you meet Dulcet Dave?
No, I didn't. I was there before anyone else, really, so, yeah.
Well, you were the only one up there.
Yeah. Yeah, got there a lot earlier than everyone else.
I guess you were wondering if you were in the right place.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's a great opportunity for you, and if anybody else wants to join the Orient Hour as a youngster, and you get these privileges to report on them, we'll come along and get in touch with the show. So, well, we're glad you had a great day as well.
Thank you.
Grant,
I'm not sure I'd be getting there at 2 o'clock on a cold January afternoon or a Tuesday night in the end of February.
You might get a nice cup of tea up there, mate.
Yeah, well, it might be a bit chilly up there, I think.
In the Roland Lyons sandwich room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, God bless him.
Rest in peace, Roland.
So, you weren't at the game?
I wasn't at the game. I've seen the highlights. The one thing that struck me was, actually, compared to last night as well, is it's from the official's point of view, because I always take a big interest in that, is that the two assistants have had a big say in the two results. The assistant clearly gave the penalty to Orient on Saturday for a handball, and I've looked at that and I'm not sure whether it was or not, but we'll take it. But I thought the assistant was bang on last night with a disallowed goal, unfortunately, from Piggott. It clearly struck, for me, it was his arm that put the ball over the line. And whether it's deliberate or not, the law states that if it's come off his arm and into the goal, then it must be disallowed. Mm. So, there we have it. I saw the game last night in full at Northampton, but we're going to talk about that after. Yeah. But the Barnsley result, good result. They're a good side. Another point on the board as well, I looked at it, and from what I saw, I thought we played really well. Their goal was an absolute banger, fantastic strike, not much you can do about that. Maybe sort of prevented them getting to that position, and maybe we were a bit open from our own attack. They countered, didn't they, and it led to the goal. But other than that, I think that it looked like we had a good performance to take in to the game last night.
Yeah, the goal always looks better when it goes in off the bar. Well, Rich, you enjoyed it because we had a little chat in the supporters club afterwards. So, your view on it, please.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, I said earlier, I probably haven't enjoyed a game like that as much as that for a long time, I would say. You know, the Barnsley are going to be up there at the end of the season. You know, we know how good they are, and we could have won it. You know, I think that's the thing. We didn't look out of place. We didn't look like we were playing a team that was on paper or with budget wise that much better than us. So I think that's why everyone was positive. I mean, you know, unlike, I say, we'll come on to last night, but, you know, a draw at the end, although obviously we'd all preferred the win, and when you're winning for that long, it's a bit frustrating as well, but it was just such a good all-round performance. And I thought, especially the starting 11, I couldn't fault any of them. Any one of them really could have had man of the match, I thought. Cooper was probably the slight standout choice for me, but I just thought everyone who started the game was excellent. I thought the performance was just so good. It's probably the best I'd seen this season. And I think a lot of people around me said pretty much the same thing as well. And I say it's just slightly frustrating we didn't get the win. But, you know, it just shows you that I think we're looking like a very, very comfortable League One team now, I think, even this early on, which is impressive.
Yes, it's a good summing up with there. I mean, I printed off the current form table of the last six games of one of the betting industries. And Barnsley are currently in second in current form, so that was a positive result for us. And personally, like I say, it was, you couldn't really fault when you sat there, and I feel that I'm watching Leighton Orient now, comfortable knowing that we've got points on the board from a shaky start, and we're now going forward to be more combative against the better teams. I mean, it is a very sort of tough league, whichever you do, week in, week out. Karen?
Yeah, well, what I'd like to say as well is, like you say about the shaky start to the season, and we had that discipline issue, didn't we, at the start of the season where we were getting cards, more cards than Santa. But it's nice to know that the last couple of games we've been 11 men on the pitch and the other team's been 10 men on the pitch. Mm. So it's nice to know that, you know, we're starting to stand up and starting to adhere to the rules that adhere to the laws. But and then the other teams are falling foul of them now.
No yellow cards.
We do have a suspension, unfortunately, because Ed Turns picked up a fifth yellow card last night. So their partnership, which is starting to look really strong with Cooper, unfortunately, is going to be broken this weekend. But I'm sure we've got bodies to come in. But I agree with Kieran. Yes, the discipline side of things, it does seem to be improving it. Mm. Unfortunately, the camera never picked up the headbutt, but we're going to talk about Northampton's game after, aren't we?
Yeah, there was a rare one. No yellow cards against Barnsley, so probably the only game this season. So anyway, we're going to talk about Northampton in a minute. But just a personal note for me, I'd like to thank all the people who've come up to myself regarding the interview I done with Dick Rickards and the chat about his life over the Odes, which we named Job Done. Dick also said he'd like me to pass on all the thanks that he's been given and people have come up to him. So it was a great time I had there, reminiscing about his time at the Odes. And if anybody else fancies it, feel free to get in touch with Yorin now again and we can always have a chat and talk about your lives watching the O's. But yeah, many thanks to all those who showed the appreciation of what Dick shared with us. So, we now go on to Northampton, where Orin got a late equaliser to share the spoils in a 2-2 draw. Before we discuss this game, we will listen to what Richie had to say to Dave Victor after the final whistle.
Richie, thanks for joining us. Your side never give up.
Well, we don't expect to ever be give up for the period of the last 18 months or so. We've never ever give up, so something that I would never expect from the group of players that we've got. Every single one of them are professional, determined and work hard, so I wouldn't even accept that as a question for a group of players that for a long, long period of time have worked really, really hard.
And your verdict on the performance tonight?
I thought for 6-7 minutes we couldn't get out, we started really poorly. You've got to hook things on, you've got to get out, you're away from home, starting against a team that, you know, are desperate for the points. And we kept playing in front. Jordan Graham's got an opportunity to hook it, he takes a touch, we give a free kick away. And for the first 6-7 minutes, we give too many set plays and a couple of corners and what have you. But then for the next 25 minutes, half an hour, we dominate the game. Scored a great goal in terms of switching the play. Good switch to Hunty, knock down, good little bit of passage, and a good goal. And I thought we was on top. We've got to, I think that if their man of the match hasn't been the goalkeeper tonight, then I'll be very. In fact, you know, Sam Askin's got it, which surprises me. So I think their goalkeeper was their best player.
I suppose. Yeah.
We had a wacky 5 minutes. Cleared it from a corner. Ethan Galbraith. Listen, these players, this group, excite me. But we also have to understand that these are young players making a way in the game, and they are going to make mistakes. So we have to ride with it. Ethan, technically one of the best players in this division. You're just going to have option one, reverse it and go back to the goalkeeper, or option two, go big down the line with no risk. He can't be playing it, he can't be trying to play off him for a throw-in or trying to nutmeg him. I'm not sure what he tried, but then they have a breakaway and it's a horrible. I think Hunty defends the goal really well, and Hoskins has hit it and it's deflected in over Salt, so it's impossible for Salt to save it. But a wacky moment and then a chip over the back four or back five wide, and we give a stupid penalty when within a moment of 3 or 4 minutes the game's turned up on its head. And then obviously when they went down to 10, then we totally dominate the game. Our decision making has to get better in terms of our last pass, our movement, the way that we come inside, go outside, the way that we clear the space to come inside, and also when they clear it and we don't give fouls away. And if it's being cleared, you know that the majority of their players are in the middle of the pitch because the play, they've gone to 4-3-1-1, head it wide. We're trying to control it with our head and little moments where they can waste 45 seconds, a minute. So even the goal, Shaq, great, you scored. Sprint back, we've got 3 or 4 minutes against 10 men, we want to win the game. So I'm really disappointed because I think we deserve the 3 points, but a wacky 5 minutes has cost us. A bit reminiscent of the Fleetwood game where we need to score more goals to get where we want to get to.
Joe Piggott, any complaints? Was it handball?
Well, I've watched it back and Pig said it's come off his side. And the biggest thing for me is no one surrounded the ref saying it's a handball. So it's just a little bit of unlucky for Pigs, because I think he deserved the goal.
Did you see the incident that led to the red card?
No. I thought the referee was okay today. I thought he let play go. Yeah, and I thought I stepped out of my area a couple of times. I didn't get booked. So I thought the officials overall was very good tonight.
Is that a fifth yellow card now for a turn?
It is. Again, young player. He's getting better and better all the time. We've just scored to make it 2-2 with 3 or 4 minutes left. Concentrate. The runner's there. And we switch off. We're not looking at him. The runner's there. And then he goes and commits a foul. And he gets booked. They waste 30 seconds taking the free kick. They've got an opposition opportunity to put the ball in our box. And it wastes 2 or 3 minutes for us attacking. So I wanted to win the game. We want to win every game. But I think at times we're so dominant that we need to make our chances pay.
Theo was on the bench. Is that because of fitness?
We've got 3 games in a week. Same with Piggott. I thought Drinan was very, very good. Piggott has led the line now for a number of weeks. Ruel, we were thinking about taking him out, but we have conversations with the players. Theo wasn't feeling too good after Saturday. He obviously took a knock. So he's a big player for us. So we, at some time, we need to freshen the players up. You know, I think we had a 15-minute spell where we had the wingers on the natural side and caused them a load of problems in terms of crossing the ball. But then they changed and we're still trying to cross it when it's not on to cross it. So we had to switch the wingers over. And then I think Jordan Graham, with his technical ability, should score. I think he should find the corner. And then obviously we know that Jordan can go on the outside. We've been asking players to run in the six-yard box more. You know, I think we've got two goals from the six-yard box today. Piggott should be a goal. And obviously Shaq, I'm pleased for Shaq.
On the road again on Saturday, Burton Albion.
We've seen tonight where the game can be really, really comfortable. But when you play from home, if you let little things and little decisions go against you. In terms of the first half, the crowd was never in it for them. And then second half, as soon as they got that little moment of I wouldn't say luck, because they earned the luck. They ran after, they chased the clearance down, and Ethan's got to make a better decision. But then their crowd was really, really good. And then you have to manage that. But again, the players excite me. I think we've got a really, really good team. Some of the players really, really good. But we are young, so we do have to ride them little minor errors that can cost us.
What about the players that are absent at the moment? The likes of Max Sanders and Darren Patley, will they be available Saturday?
Maybe not Max. Maybe Pratt. And again, sometimes, especially when you're away from home, you know, Pratt will do a good job. He knows the game, he's clever, he's experienced. So we are missing Pratt and Becks at the moment in terms of their experience and their stature. We're missing Max because the way that we play with them eights, he does suit that role really, really good. But I'm conscious in the next few weeks that we, you know, depending on whether our Port Vale game will be on or off, we're playing Saturday, Tuesday, so we need to manage our squad better. Monk has not gone again today because, you know, I want to get Monks on, but that game was about people running into that area and getting knockdowns, and I still think that we should be scoring more goals from knockdowns. I think that Galbraith should score. I think it was Ruel. We're hitting the goalkeeper, and then obviously Shaq. Dries got tired, but I thought Junior was excellent. And then Pigs. You know, we've got players in there that can attack the 6-yard box, which you need more of.
How much a difference would Dan Ajay make into this team at the moment?
Who?
Dan Ajay.
Dan Agge.
Agge. Okay then.
Well, I think he would have. We signed him from Crewe, and he scored 16 goals in a team that was, for the majority of the season, near mid to bottom of the table. So he scored 16 goals. He's got pace, he's got power, and when he breaks, he runs to the goal to score. So I think we signed him to replace Paul Smythe in terms of numbers and goals and assists. We've got Jordan Graham. Jordan needs to do more goals and assists. He's so talented. You see, but he wants to whip it so perfection in the top corner. Don't hit the target. You seen Hunter's goal? It's not the cleanest of strikes, but if you hit the target, you score goals. And for Jordan Graham's ability, he needs to score numbers. If he didn't have that ability, I wouldn't be demanding that of him. But in terms of Dan Agge, yeah, you were missing because pace, power, goals. We signed him for that, and unfortunately, we haven't been able to utilise it.
How's his recovery?
He's going well. Listen, one thing he is, he's a fantastic lad. Always smiling, even though it's been a hard 3 or 4 months for him. But we're confident that when he does get back fit, like I say, smile, good lad to be around the change room, good personality, bubbly, you know, and hopefully we can get him on the pitch soon and we can start seeing the fruits of that in terms of his goal scoring.
Over 700 travelling fans. They weren't allowed a drum, but they're having plenty of noise.
Yeah, no, I thought someone might sneak in. I was going to actually say come and sneak in, but I probably got a booking. No, fantastic. We're sorry that we didn't get the 3 points. But we just have to. You know, I want to get to the top, the top end of this league. But you know, we're young and we just let little moments. You look at the Portsmouths and the Boltons. They won that game tonight, just by little decision making. But as I said a minute ago, they excite me. We've got talent. We've got players that are going to improve and develop over a period of time. And you know, I have to vent my frustration. Just hold back because I'm old now. I've seen them pitches, I know the decision, I know the ball's there, you've got to hock it on, not take a touch and pick. So we'll keep working with them, we'll keep getting better, and I couldn't be pleased with the reaction from after losing the first three games of the season, I think we're on a really good run. And like I said, they're a joy to work with every day. And they're so coachable and they want to learn. So we'll keep getting better.
Thanks, no problem.
Thank you. There we go. There's Richie Whelan in quite an extended interview last night after the Northampton game. So we'll probably pull the bones out of that in a minute. Well, see, bit of research I've done today. Northampton have been a bit of a bogey side for the O's. And we've only had 8 wins at Northampton since football resumed after World War II, which I guess the most famous win was on the 12th of September 1995. We won 2-1 when Ian Hendon and famously Alex Inglethorpe scored to put to bed probably the most ludicrous run of not winning a game of football on the road for a couple of years. Any of you there that game that night?
My mum and dad were.
Oh. I was there, and I must admit that I was on the pitch because we were so ecstatic. It wasn't even a great game, but it had been two, three seasons we hadn't won away?
Yeah, ridiculous.
We were absolutely awful away for years before that. So it was a real monkey off the bat. I remember. It was a juicy night, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was there as well.
I remember it very well.
And I think Barry Hearn was actually the rare away game when he said this is better than winning the European Cup or something like he said like that. But they said, Barry was
we came back from 1-0 down, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, yeah.
I think one went in off Smalley's arse into the back.
Yes, I think that was the winner, wasn't it? I'm not sure. It wasn't a great winner. I took a bit of a daisy cut from it, but just like I say. And it was a strange evening because so many Orient fans turned up there as if we were sort of drawn in a naff Tuesday night game. We were probably lower half of the table. I think there was 700-800 there that night, and we won the game. It was
more than that. I think we'd gone to Exeter on the Saturday before, and we were 2-1 up, and they equalised. And everyone felt that maybe the momentum was there, we were going to do it.
Yeah.
And that was why they all rocked up at Northampton, and it turned out to be I can't believe how long ago. So 18 years ago?
Yeah, 95. Do the maths, yeah, about 18 years. Yeah, well done. Yeah. Alex Inglethorpe, he's gone on to have a decent career in coaching, hasn't he? So
28,
there you go.
I can't even get that right.
We've got a mathematician here. There's a programme on Tea Time TV for you, Karen. Anyway, so last night it ended 2-2. We were playing a 3-5-2. Two changes from Saturday where Turnton Drennan started with Archibald and Piggott warming the bench. We had Bryn Cooper-Happ, who was replaced by James, probably good because he was on the yellow. Turns Hunt, who was replaced with Archibald. Galbraith Brownie, Ilmazuni, who Piggott replaced. Graham, then Drennan was finally replaced by Ford and Sartorio. So, going back to Richie Whelan's interview, I'll put down some key points of what he said here. He's like what Dave questions, and he said, like, we never give up, we started poorly, their keeper's man of the match, wacky 5 minutes. One thing I think we want to discuss is young players making mistakes, and we've got to run with it. Now, what do we think on that, Grant, with the young players and the situation of what we got here and him saying we've got to run with it?
I agree with that. We do have a young squad. It's still a bit frustrating because it's the here and now. We want to see the results now as best as we can. There's not many Orient fans that would say that we should be challenging at the top of the table. But sometimes you can't help it but thinking that if we were just a little bit more, had a bit more guile at times and making these, maybe missing out with these mistakes, not so much, we would be further up the table even than we are, even though we've had a really good start. Galbraith made a little bit of a bad choice there, didn't he, with leading to the first goal. But these things do happen. But he is a fantastic player, and as Richie said in the interview, he said technically he's one of the best players in the league, and I'd agree with that. Galbraith has got those attributes. It's whether he can add in the tenacity and the physicality and the nous in a game as well, on top of his technical ability, that will decide whether he goes on to become a really good player. But Manchester United, you know, had him for some time, so generally you would think they would know that when there's talent there. And that applies to some of the other young players, but it's good to see. I almost feel as if Richie's still playing around a little bit, and he's not really settled on how exactly he wants to play with the format of how he wants to play and as long as we're doing okay, he's happy just to keep developing the side rather than playing an 11 that's going to win every game for certain. That's the way, just the vibe I get from listening to that interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Galbraith, I mean, he's probably not even in double figures in men's football yet, is he, for appearances? So it's probably in a big learning curve, isn't he, still?
Yeah, was at Salford, though, wasn't he? And I think he got
A bit of game time there, yeah.
Yeah, he would have got some good league experience last season. As I say, everyone's been crying out for Galbraith to come into the side from his little cameo performances. But they're going to have dips. Some might think this is controversial. I didn't think Jordan Brown had his best game for us last night. Other people were saying he did. I'm not saying he played badly, but I didn't feel that he was quite on the money as he has been over the last few weeks. I'm not saying by any means drop him or anything, but this is going to happen with younger players. They're not going to be completely consistent.
Yeah. I just think it's really nice to see that Leighton Orient is going to be, hopefully, be known as a team for helping the young players actually come on and get, you know, push on with their career. So, you know, everybody's got to start somewhere. And if they want to start at Leighton Orient and we've got the patience to stick with them, then, you know, fingers crossed that, you know, this year, we'll be a bit patient with them this year. And as long as we're not relegated, that's all that really matters this year. Next year, they'll be a bit more experienced. So then they'll be able to come on and hopefully then we can just do like we did last year and smash the league.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to be honest, maybe I missed that part in the interview when I listened to it, because I think young players will make mistakes. I mean, you know, we said it last season, we all talked about Omar Beckles quite a lot, you know, but Richie never sent, you know, and he does make mistakes, but it was never really highlighted by the manager. So I know that maybe that was a bit more obvious, or Omar Beckles maybe got away with it last year, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's young players that make mistakes. I mean, players make mistakes. Yes, it was a mistake. Richie said in the interview, whether he's tried to nutmeg him or whether he's tried to do a bit of skill that he shouldn't have, but I don't think he was. I think he was trying to find a man down the line. It was a very tight position to try and get it down that way, but, you know, this place is a player with a lot of ability that I think he could have pulled it off on another occasion. But it was a mistake. It went down. I mean, personally, you know, there was a couple of things I didn't agree with that Richie said. He mentioned the fact that he thought Rob Hunt did well for their equaliser, which, you know, I probably am being harsh here. I'm certainly Rob Hunt's not to blame for that goal, but, you know, Sam Hoskins, we know how good he is shooting, we know he's right-footed. I just don't see why we didn't bring him on the inside, put him on his weaker foot, because then, you know, certainly to the centre of the goal, maybe Brim would have had more of a chance to save it. I mean, it was a freak, you know, deflection that took it over. There's no blame on Hunt for that goal, but, you know, I didn't see what Rob Hunt did well there, essentially. I just thought, and, you know, I thought the thing he said about Drinham playing well, I found that bizarre, because to me, he was almost irrelevant there. I didn't think he added anything to the game last night. Just again, maybe harshly, like when he came on Saturday, I didn't think he made any difference on Saturday either. Yes, they are young players there, but I don't think young players are the only ones that make mistakes. I've seen plenty of senior players over the years, certainly down the Orient, make mistakes. But, you know, mistakes happen in games. I don't think you'll let someone off making a mistake because they're young. I know they're learning the game, but, you know, you could have turned around there and say, would Prattley have put it into touch, or would Prattley have, you know, maybe he wouldn't have even been in that position because he wouldn't have been able to keep up because of his age. You know, it's hard to say. But I don't think there's any danger of anyone jumping on anyone's back or anything, certainly, because, you know, I think we all realise. I mean, you know, this is the thing I was thinking about Barnsley. You know, sometimes when that ball drops in the middle, it's dropping to Galbraith, El Mizuni, Jordan Brown, Max Sanders, Archibald. These are very, very good League One players. Very, very good. And I think teams would look at some of those midfield options we've got and think, I'd love to have two or three of them. You know, and we've got like five players, I think, that are very, you know, maybe it's a bit early to guess with Archibald yet because I don't think he's played much at this level. But I think the others certainly have taken to this so naturally, you know, that, you know, and Sanders is the one we haven't seen enough of, but he's the one who's played at this level more consistently, maybe. So I just think, you know, we've got a lot of quality in that area. And then that's without mentioning, you know, the experience that Prattley brings as well, because he's been out for the last few matches. But, yeah, I mean, I think people understand that happens. And, you know, I understand managers kind of saying things like that. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's just the young players that make mistakes. I think, you know, anyone can do that, really. So I'm not sure about singling that. I mean, we can see how good the young, you know, we've got such a young team, really. And I wouldn't say a lot of what we're doing is due to individual mistakes. I mean, there might be, you know, Mark. And I thought last night, for instance, I thought some of the things that Richie did were wrong. You know, I think he went with the wrong start in 11. I think he went with the wrong tactics in having Graham out on the left, because for me, it doesn't work that well on the left. He should have been on the right. But, you know, I think there's things maybe the manager got slightly wrong there last night, which I thought he might say. But, you know, the fact he gave a 10-minute interview, I think he realises that there was a few discussion points, certainly for that last night.
Yeah, it does appear to me that he likes to get his points across, and he does use his time with David too well. I mean, he generally says these players do excite him, and they excite all of us as well. He also said our 10 men dominated, but poor decision, mate. What do you think on that comment?
I agree. I thought that I was a little bit disappointed with how we ran the game after they went down to 10 men.
35 minutes as well is quite a good chunk of the game, isn't it?
I thought that we, the choices that we were making, we were overhit passes and trying to rush it a little bit sometimes rather than being patient and move the ball across the field, backwards and forwards, perhaps a little bit more to stretch them. I agree with Richard to an extent with regards to tactically. I thought that even from the very first 10 minutes or so, it looked obvious that down the left-hand side we had a weakness. And I'm not sure whether he could have tactically made any changes to that even in the first half. I agree that Graham didn't look comfortable at that sort of like left wing-backy type role that he was asked to play. He's better with the ball at his feet, facing the back four of the opposition. That's where he does the damage. He's positionally quite astute, and he'll hold a position for you and keep the shape of the team, but defending like one-on-one is not his strong point. And that was shown with the penalty that was given away as well. A little bit of lack of nous there. He didn't really need to go in for that challenge. But we live and learn as we go along, and I think Richie is still learning as he goes. And it's a work in progress.
Yeah, I think I said on the last show now, Richie's probably now, as a manager personally, in his highest league position. So you're right, it is a learning curve for him as well. The higher we go up, because he also says, I want to get higher up the league still. So the ambition is burning on him. I mean, Kieran, he also mentioned scoring from knockdowns and things like that. I think it's a little bit one that's been bugging me, that they get stuff played back to them in meetings and this, that and the other. They train with each other, especially when Pigger's on the pitch. A lot of balls are falling around 6 yards, 8 yards, 10 yards out now. Nobody's getting on the end of them. I think this is, and he doesn't really mention it as such.
No, I think it's like everybody says, you know, we need that last person, don't we? We need that final front man to, you know, be able to just be on the end of whatever's put into the mixing bowl, and just somebody that's a bit stronger. And Satoru is doing a great job, but he can't do the job on his own.
Yeah, well, one little statistic there. I mean, I think Satoru has got 5 goals this season now, hasn't he? And he's virtually played every minute of the 13 league games we played. And Ford has been on the pitch probably 1.5 games and has got 2 goals. And I think they're both about 6 yards out. So, when does Shaq Ford get a run in the team if he continue to stick things in from 6 to 8 yards out? That is a conundrum I like to sort of throw into the mix.
I think he's still a bit raw. He's not one that I would start yet. I don't think he's ready. I think the Soturio's really, really impressed me this season. And last night he had an assist for Hunt's goal. Maybe last season or even earlier in the season, he'd have a shot there himself. And he ended up unselfishly laying it off to Hunt, and it led to the goal, even though the keeper sort of threw it in a little bit, but we'll take it. So I think that, yes, we could do with another forward, but Richie doesn't like playing with an orthodox number nine as such. He likes more of a false nine. He likes to create the goals more from the wings, and that's why I think we signed Dan Adji, because he felt that he was going to be a replacement for Smith, and maybe bring in 8-10 goals from that side, as well as Archibald and the likes of Soturio drifting off the flanks and coming in and shooting, is more the way that I think he sees us scoring. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like to throw too many bodies into the box. He likes to keep the shape of the midfield as it is, with them playing behind the ball rather than in front of the ball. That's, I think, the way which he plays, because there's less risk with that. So that's the way I see it going forward. And we're playing the same way as we did last season to an extent. 62% possession last night, 19 shots, but only 7 on target. And that's really a sum up of our season. We're dominating games, but we're not quite hitting the target enough.
Mm. Karen, anything?
Maybe they need to practice with slightly smaller goals so that then when they do actually hit it wide, it goes in when it's the real goal.
Picking up on that point of the possession and things like that, though, I listened to the Outlook podcast, and one thing that Paul Terry said, he was asked by a fan on a question, he said, what would one thing you would change about the Orient? And Paul Terry said, he said, would be more clinical in front of goal and getting the second goal in matches. So obviously he said it. I mean, obviously Richie doesn't come out and say it in so many interviews, but they obviously must sit down and talk about not getting this second goal. And it's sort of a type of thing we have got to get it, especially because the teams are better going forward. Again, if we got the second against Barnsley, I do believe we win that game. Simple as that, you know. And if we got maybe the second at Northampton, regardless of the send-off, you win the game. So obviously the management team are looking at how we are got to be more clinical going forward. So that was an interesting thing out of the Terry interview. And going to bringing Dan Agaid, what do we think with Dan Agaid when he gets fit? Do you think the pressure's going to mount on him quite highly to deliver? Because I don't think he had the great pre-season, did he?
I do think that Richie's really good at managing the minutes that he gives the players, especially when they're on their way back from injury. And so I do think that he'll bring him in gently. He'll bring him in for, you know, one of the games, hopefully, you know, I mean, we're hearing that he may be back sort of December, January time, and hopefully nothing happens in training that stops that from happening. But I do think that Richie will manage his time properly and make sure that, you know, when he is ready to go back, all guns blazing, that he'll be once on the starting sheet.
Hopefully we'll still be in a strong position in the league. You know, what, we're 12th now. If we're still there, there's less pressure for a player to then come in at that point rather than us being in a dogfight at the bottom when perhaps there's more pressure. He's an experienced pro. I'm sure he'll be able to handle it. Jordan Graham came in. He clearly was unfit to start with because his pre-season was literally non-existent. Mm. And look at him now. He's turning into probably the best signing that we made, I think, over the summer. So hopefully Dan will come in and he'll add to squad, be like practically a brand new signing, effectively, won't it?
With Graham, where do we think his best position is? Because he's sort of been playing wing back. I like to see him just literally hugging that tagline, personally. But
I think just right midfield.
Mm. Somewhere where he can be one-on-one against the full-back. Either side, I think he's capable. He's predominantly left-footed by the sound of it. And he got switched last night, and it led to the equalising goal going back from the right to the left, even though it was like a skating rink down that side of the pitch. Mm-hmm. I think there was some gamesmanship there from Northampton trying to stop us playing in the way that we like to play our passing game. But ultimately, he can play on either wing. But yes, definitely is a more of a forward position rather than have too much defensive responsibility so he can face their goal.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that. So hopefully, Richie, you're listening. So anything from you, Moritz, of what we've just been discussing before?
Well, I mean, I think as well, one of the things is, well, we've kind of discussed this offline before, but you know, I think Richie kind of alluded to this in a recent interview, that this isn't actually his favourite formation to play, but like sort of injuries and a form have dictated it more than anything. I mean, Jordan Graham for me, no one plays 4-4-2 anymore, right? But I think that right wing position is perfect for him. But if we're going to do, I would imagine Richie's favourite, I imagine was 4-3-3, then to the right of that three maybe. Dan Aggie, Aja, we're going to have to find out how to pronounce this probably, I think, but when I remember seeing him for Crewe last year, I'm sure he sort of played on the left side and came in a bit more. So I don't, like when he said he's a replacement for Paul Smith, so I don't know if he's that forward player or whether he's going to be playing in that position or whether we're going to, because then, you know, if Theo plays and we do 4-3-3 and Theo was going to be on one side, or does he come out? Sotiriou seems to be, I think, one of Richie's first names on the team sheet. So he's going to beat, so then we lose a midfielder somewhere. So, I mean, whether when he is fit, we possibly end up changing our formation. I guess, if we carry on as we are, I can't see how we can change the formation. But I think, you know, we've mentioned this previously, that I'm not 100% sure that Richie actually even knows when everyone's fit, what is his best team and what is his best formation at the moment with these players. Because, you know, say Turns wasn't injured, suspended next week, but Beckles is back. You know, I couldn't hand on heart say these are the three centre-backs I know he'll pick. because he could easily put Rob Hunt, as he's been doing, in that back three. You know, Tom James can come in and do a job in there, and, you know, they won't play wing-backs. I think he prefers the attacking options. That you know, it's actually quite difficult to predict what team we're going to start with, I think, on a lot of games. And I do wonder whether we'll possibly change. I mean, it would be crazy to change formation if we're carrying on looking good as we are at the moment. But, you know, I can't help but think that I think Richie wants to get to 4-3-3, but he just feels like he can't do it at the moment, and I don't think he can. But even if he did, you know, who would come in? Because, you know, this is the good thing about the squad that I think we've built as well, is that, you know, El Mizuni would definitely be in there. I think Cooper's played his way into a starting position, but his loan's up in January, and whether we extend it, I don't know how it works. You'd have to say, really, Soteriou, I think, will start because Richie loves him. But other than the keeper, I don't know any nailed-on positions in any of those. Even we're raving about Jordan Graham, but, you know, he's sort of in and out a little bit as well because he's trying to get his fitness and for whatever other reason. So it's so hard to predict what it's going to be. And, you know, it'd be interesting when he's fit in January, Dan Agge, how he slides into the team and where, really.
I think that Richie actually revels in the fact that he's got people guessing about how we're going to play, who's going to play and how we're going to set up. And also he has the ability and the guile to change formations a number of times in a game if he really needs to, and he's got this staff that can do that. That's the way Richie manages. So I actually think it's a deliberate thing. I think he doesn't actually say, oh, this is my best 11, because he thinks about his best 11 against the team that they're playing or what he's got available that week. Rather than a best 11 overall, and they're going to play them, you know. Like Kenny Jackett was quite, you know, rigid in what he was doing, and he had a certain way of playing, and that was it, whoever we were playing against. And then eventually he got found out, whereas I think that's one of Richie's strengths. I can see Richie going on to managing at a higher level, and hopefully maybe with us, but not too long a future, I think he's going to be managing at Championship level or even higher.
With the Orient.
Hopefully.
Well, because I think there was one game recently where he said, he wasn't like belittling the fans, but he said, we actually changed formation 5-6 times during the game, but you in the stands wouldn't have seen that. You know what I mean? But he wasn't like, because we follow the ball, don't we? You know what I mean? We're not looking what the fullback's doing there. You follow the ball, the action, didn't you? So you can't sometimes, at the back of the West End, it's quite right because we can see where everybody's seeing. We can sometimes see the changes, but not all the time because you're enthralled in the game. I mean, we pay to watch. He's paid to change it around, doesn't he?
He did it against Peterborough. He changed.
I think that was the game, yeah.
And then eventually he outfoxed Ferguson, in my opinion, because the last 20 minutes, Peterborough didn't have an answer to it, and we were becoming the more dominant side. And I think he showed how good a coach he was at that game, because for me that was a really good point away, and that was because he managed to change things around, because in the first half they were all over us.
And with the players listening to him and carrying out the instructions, which is the other important side of this, isn't it?
Yeah, the hiring of the staff is important to know that they're going to buy into what he wants to do.
Anyway, well, that's enough of Richie there. I mean, I think we spent just as much time as what his interviews on him, but it's all positive with Richie Wellens at the moment, and like Grant's alluded to, he will go on to better things. So, Dulcet Dave has been watching the last two games, and so we have a little victor's view, please, Rich.
It's now just one defeat in the last 8 league matches. The most recent back-to-back draws. The first against one of the favourites for promotion. The other at a ground where the O's have struggled in recent years. And the fact that Richie Wellens' side feel that they should have won both demonstrates just how far this team has come after a difficult start. Young players learning and improving all the time. Their potential, both individually and as a squad, is very exciting. On Saturday, against the very good Barnsley side, it was the O's who created the majority and the better chances. And on Tuesday night at Northampton, Leighton Orient paid a high price for 2 careless mistakes in the space of just 3 minutes shortly after the restart. Saturday's game, unusual, so far that nobody for the O's got booked. That's a very positive sign. At Sixfield, the back three all picked up cautions. The fifth for Ed Turn, so he'll miss Orient's first ever trip to Burton. The young Welsh defender, probably the first of several players who are reaching that landmark. as we come into a hectic November. Next up, the O's face one of the division's form teams. It's now four wins and a draw from the last six matches for the Brewers. Only Portsmouth, Barnsley and Oxford have a better recent record. Albion has suffered two defeats at home against Derby County and Exeter City, both in the early stages of the campaign. Since then, Dino Maria's side have gone eight without defeat and will be determined to bounce back after their midweek slip-up in the far north, Carlisle coming from behind to take the points. The travelling faithful have been exceptional in recent weeks. Let's hope they can take the drum into the Pirelli Stadium. 1 point and one place separates these clubs, Albion 11th, Orient 12th. It's a match that both managers will think that they can win, and I think it's going to be another eventful encounter.
There we go, that's Victor's view for this week anyway. So, Karen, any supporters club news this week, please?
Yes, we have an ale festival tomorrow evening. Doors open at 4 o'clock. Do go along. Mark's been working very hard this week, getting the beers ready for you. And there'll also be a presentation because the supporters club have won another camera award. We need to get a bigger wall. We've won the Greater London Club of the Year this. So where we've won the East London Club of the Year puts us forward to the Greater London. We've won that. So that now puts us now forward for the National Club of the Year, which is where I will be next month. So listen out for any news on that. But yes, yeah, so our festival tomorrow night at the club, doors at 4.
Well, hopefully you, when you go to that evening event, you win something there as well. And as always, many thanks to Mark, who does a wonderful job looking after the beer and the sports club, plus do all the committee. So just a quick little bit of current form in League One. Quite interesting, just having a look at it before we talk about Burton. 24th in current form, Exeter City. Weren't so long ago, they were at the top. So we are currently 10th on current form, and Burton are currently 4th on current form. What do we think of how the league's shaping up at the moment? Anybody you'd like to comment, Amelia or Grant? There's some league tables to have a look at, and how we think it's all shaping up at the moment.
I thought Burton were higher than 4th, if I'm honest, on the current league form. I thought they were actually the form team of the division. So hopefully, you know, we'll be able to go over them and give them a game on Saturday. And who's worried about the form when you know, you can go out and play? Every day's a different day, isn't it? So
we went to Exeter when they were top of the form table and we won there. And ever since then, they've been on a downward spiral. But having seen that game, I wasn't that impressed with them. So form's sometimes a little bit, depending on who you're playing necessarily, it's the fact of how well you're playing, I think. But our form is pretty good. Barnsley came to Brisbane Road and were happy to come away with a point. And I think they'd won virtually every away game up until then in the league. So it doesn't mean anything. I'm confident that we'll go to Burton on Saturday and we will get a result there of some type. I'm confident that. I'm really looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, the last eight games unbeaten and back-to-back draws, I think, you know, if they take all the chances and if they end up scoring more, I think there's no doubt that, you know, they can get a good result at the weekend.
Anyway, so on to this Burton game. I know you lot are quite intelligent in this. When did Burton come in the league?
Oh, crikey, it must have been 2000-something.
Okay.
2005, maybe?
No, it's a bit later than that, Grant.
2010?
No, it was 2009 that they come into They come into the league, so they've had quite a rise, really. I mean, I was doing a bit of research on them. They were founded in 1950, so they've not been around that long. So, but their rise to the Football League, Nigel Clough was obviously there. He was player manager, and they won the conference 2008-09. But since then, they've lost the League Two playoff final, went on to win the League Two title 2014-15, and they were promoted to League One in 2015-16. But the interesting bit I'd like to talk about is that Burton spent two seasons in the Championship until they got relegated in 2018. Now, our ball's got aspirations of going higher. So when we go to the Pirelli Stadium on Saturday, it holds just under 7,000, and there's a good 800 O's fans making the trip. Do we have to be worried about being promoted? What's your thoughts on that?
Not worried, but like Burton, I think that I'd be quite happy for us to become established as more or less as a yo-yo club between the Championship and League One. With our current ground that we have, the capacity, etc., etc., the wages in the Championship are substantially higher, and it would be very hard without a really big, rich benefactor coming in to sort of throw some money down the drain, effectively, to keep the club going. Unless a new stadium comes around the corner and we can fill that to pay for the expenses. But it's a huge leap. I think they did really well to get up to the Championship. But I think League One is probably about their level now from over the last couple of seasons. And I don't see them necessarily going back up again. I think Nigel Clough had a very, very successful period with them. And they had a lot of momentum that they took through from when they won the conference. And they kept that going. But then again, we have that now. So why can't we? Yes, is the answer. Whether we can stay there or not is another thing.
Kieran?
Yeah, no, I agree completely with Grant. It's like, I'd love to give it a shot. I'd love to get up there, give it a go, tick off all the Championship clubs that I've not been to. But Orient have never played Burton before, have they? So as long as we can get our game and I can tick Burton off so that we can do League One. You know, why not aim for the Championship? You know, why not aim for the Premier League? Not that it's going to happen probably in my lifetime. But, you know, you've got to aim for something, haven't you? You've got to aim for higher than what you are. Mm. So, yeah, fingers crossed it'll happen, but see what goes.
Because Nigel Travis said that he would have to hand over the reins effectively and call other people in if we got up to the Championship, because with the best will in the world with him and Ken, they just haven't got the funding to sustain the wage bill that would be required to work in the Championship. But there's no reason why, with the American investors, etc., that we've got recently and other investment, that we couldn't necessarily sustain ourselves in the Championship. But first thing is to get there first and then see where we go from there.
Well, I never thought Burton had sort of an oligarch sort of in the background, but I thought they were a well-run club. I mean, when we were messing down at the river in the FA Cup beating Fulham, they stole the show that weekend by drawing 0-0 with Manchester United. And they actually hold a record because they lost the replay 5-0 in front of 11,000 Burton fans, setting a record number of fans for the away game ever at United. So the thing is, from there, they built the Pirelli in 2005. They've built steadily. So if you think the Orient plan, building steadily, it can be done. I think we have to look at Burton and give them a lot of respect for what they've done. We've all had one eye on them, but I mean, Nigel Clough's obviously a famous name, but the money they would have got from that Man United game, they've obviously invested, and they are a pretty well-run football club.
Sounds like, rather than having a rich benefactor, we need to have a Manchester United away in the Cup.
Well, yes, we've got to beat Carlisle first, though, Kieran.
I mean, I'm also looking forward to sampling some of the delights on the food menu at Burton.
Oh, yeah. Be careful what you say, young man. One of my friends has already been had a red card on Twitter for that. But, yeah, it does look an interesting menu, which they've posted up. Another fact, a few years ago, I'm not making this into Burton show, I'm just saying I'd like Orient to build on what we're talking about here. 2018-19, they got to the semi-final of the League Cup. Do they play in the semi-final? Can you remember?
I don't remember it, but that's a fantastic achievement. They have done very well over the last 10 years, and full respect to them. I'm looking forward to going there and seeing how their club operates and see what we could possibly take away for ourselves. Stability, I think, is the key, and it sounds like they have that.
Yeah. I was going to say, hopefully we can learn some lessons.
They
not footballing ones.
They actually lost 9-0 to Manchester City in the first leg at the Etihad. So on the way, they beat Shrewsbury, Villa, Burnley, Forest and Middlesbrough. So, yeah, fantastic for them. So that's a little bit about that. And just to add to that, I mean, they've also attracted some great managers over the years. They've had Nigel Clough, Roy McFarlane, Paul Pescolito, Gary Rowett, ex-Mill, Floyd Hasselbank with the QBR. Clough and the Hasselbank was the one that took them back up. So, yes, Burton have got a good pedigree of building up through the system, and like you say, we're all looking forward to going there because it ticks off another ground. And that was the other thing I was looking at, this 92 thing. Has anybody got anywhere near doing the 92?
I think I'm on the high 70s, low 80s, but I only count them if I do them with Orient, so...
Back in the 1980s, I was up to 83 or 84, but because of all the new grounds, I think it's less than that now.
Well, I went on to look at the rules. Oh, my goodness. It's got to be... To be a member, you've got to be doing the current 92, and it's quite strict. I mean, my 92 was from the day I went in from 1978 onwards. I got two to do. But we've never played Man City in my lifetime, so good luck with that one, isn't it? You know what I mean? So, but the rules are there. Strictly that... That's the current 92, that means you remember the 92 club, and it was actually founded by some Bristol Rovers fans in the late 70s. So
you can go without watching your own team, though, and it counts, it's whether you can be bothered.
Yeah, that's it. I mean,
you don't want to miss your own team, do you?
No. It's good, though. I mean, I think I've only got about six, which I've not seen in Orient, so I'm probably high 80s of actually seeing Orient, because we've the odd cup games and this, that and the other, so it's I've done quite well over the years, but that's when you get to the third round in a cup and you get stoked. Oh dear, you know what I mean? You want your big ones, don't you? So anyway, we've got Carlisle in the cup. What do we think of that one?
Good draw, that home draw. They won't fancy coming down all that way. I really do hope that we take it seriously, we play a full strength team, because I really am keen for us to have a cup run this year. We're due one. I think a good finish in League One this season and a cup run, and I think that would be a good season for us.
Would the supporters club be normal opening times, Karen, or is it too early to decide just yet?
No, I think it will be normal rules, normal home game rules, open at midday and then open again immediately after the game. I won't be there. That's the one weekend I'm giving to my girlfriend, so I'm away for the weekend. But... yeah, I think Carlisle, we only recently went up there, didn't we? So we know how they're going to probably play. But then, yeah, I think, you know, we can do it. Why not?
Yeah, and then hopefully another home draw in the second round. Yeah,
I want an away draw. I like the away games.
I thought the pricing for the game was the right area for me. £15 for adults. I think that's put the right one. Obviously, you have to agree that with the away club as well, I think. So I think that's a fair pricing. So hopefully we'll get a decent crowd.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Hopefully Avanti will be running well so that the Carlisle fans can actually come, because Carlisle do like to come and they do like to make a noise, and they're nice supporters.
They've got a big London following as well.
Okay, well, that's virtually all we've got time for this week. Well, personally, I'm looking forward to going to Burton, and Karen via Mark has printed us out a nice beer walk, and so but a lot of us are going up Friday evening. So if you are going to the O's, and thoroughly enjoy yourself, and make sure you sing loud and proud, and join in with the drum maybe, and up the O's.
But sadly, comes again. We're trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we're laying on you from 10. We're laying on you from 10. This is our club, we are proud. So sing it up and sing aloud. We were formed in 1881, the class in Orient, and so begun. The old story on it runs. We're late and Orient from E10. Every challenge has come our way. The Orient faithful are here to stay. We can live to find another day. We're late and Orient from E10. Late and Orient from E10. Yeah. We're late and Orient from E10. Late and Orient from E10. This is our club, we're proud. So sing it up and sing it loud. We're not a city, we're not a town. We're the only one of us around. Yeah, you know where we can be found. When Saturday comes again. We're trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the best. Whatever challenge,
Well, the test for Leighton Orient from Eastern. Leighton Orient from Eastern. Leighton Orient. Oh, oh, oh. Yeah, we're Orient. Oh, oh, oh. Leighton Orient from Eastern.
On the hour across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM News.